You've got to shoot this bit, Margaret! You've got to shoot it!
We're only here to talk about the snow.
I'm not going to rant today. Good looking.
Yeah.
It's the bad Kleikenkirchen. Intelligent Grossglockner.
Yeah.
Full of energy. Healing and blut. Charming.
Yeah.
It's the Klagenfurt. Best time to go skiing. Just search that up on Google.
So, welcome to the 19th edition of the White Up podcast for this season. I'm Dom Killinger, publisher at In the Snow Mag, and it's the start of March already, although it feels like the restart of winter with the new snow. It's getting cold, we're having. I'm, of course, joined by my esteemed co-host, Rob Stewart, ranter, general complainer of all things wrong about anything to do with skiing. Rob, what are you moaning about today?
Oh, yeah, good one, Dom. Yeah, sometimes a ranter about all things, and, you know, rightly too. Actually, I'm not going to rant today because it's snowing. It's March.
Yeah.
It's the best time to go skiing, right? And even better, I'm off to Austria next week as well. Oh. First time there in 2 years. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Lucky you, Rob. That sounds pretty cool. Well, we'll catch up with Ben and Clow next week, who have just been to Austria.
We will.
So they've been across 24 resorts in 4 countries in the last 2 months this winter. So they've just been out of Austria. So I'm sure you're going to have a fantastic time out there. Whereabouts are you going to?
I'm actually heading to Carinthia, southern part of Austria. They say the sunny side of Austria. And it's near Klagenfurt. You fly into Klagenfurt. And there's, you know, there's a few ski resorts there. Bad Kleikenkirchen. I don't think I've pronounced that correctly. BKK, home of Franz Klammer.
Yeah.
Healing and Blut, which is like a bit of a hidden gem, free ride resort right underneath Austria's highest mountain, the Grossglockner. And a little place called Innerkrems, where they decided to shut down all the ski lifts couple of years ago and turn it into a ski touring only destination, or ski touring and snowshoeing and that kind of thing.
Nice.
A little bit different.
Yeah, that's a little bit cool. Different. That'll be a good week. Well, judging by the conditions I've seen with Ben and Cloud traveling around, you could well be in for a good time down there. That sounds like pretty good stuff.
Yeah, actually, I caught up with Ben and Cloud in Switzerland, Crans-Montana, a few weeks back. Nice couple, you know, young, you know, like 20s young, good looking, intelligent, full of energy, charming, and spending 2 months like gallivanting around the Alps.
Yeah, now you put it that way, Rob, I think we've got this the wrong way around, haven't we?
Yes. Unfortunately, we have. We can't do anything about our age, though, can we? Obviously, all those other attributes, they can apply.
Of course,
they?
Yeah. Well, thanks very much, Rob. That's very kind of you saying. I bet you were like that just back in the day.
Well, I was in my 20s back in the day. Possibly gallivanting. I'm not sure about the rest of it, though, to be honest.
Well, those annoyingly nice people will be joining us next week, where we've got a full episode on their amazing trips and to hear about the glamorous lifestyle of the 24 resorts they visited over a space of 7 weeks. What about you, Rob? Have you seen anything glamorous in the last couple of weeks?
Lots of Gucci ski suits in Courchevel. Pink one pieces, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's a good question. Actually, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting in the Pelican Bar in Courchevel 1650, quite a nice place.
Yeah.
And this family walked in, right? The dad and the mum, sort of in their mid-50s. You know, they look good. They look smart, intelligent kind of people, lots of energy.
Like an older Ben and
charming.
An older Ben and
yes,
Cal,
exactly.
Yeah.
British, yes. Exactly. So the man had this one piece Henri Duvillard ski suit on, right, from the 1980s.
Love
now,
it.
Yeah, listeners, right, just search that up on Google and check out the colors and the madness. It really does stand out. I was like full of admiration. I couldn't help myself. A bit later, I went up to him.
Oh, good.
And I complimented him on his suit. I thought
love
it was
it.
A bit of a risk. But he really appreciated it, actually.
Did he?
And then he told me a story. Yeah. He told me a story about how his dad had passed it down to him. And it was like this magnificent piece of clothing. And the funny thing was, he basically said to me, he said, it's hard not to look like a beep beep in it. It's a fine line, he said. And I said, you know, I agree. But actually, I must say, he pulled it off.
Good.
And
on
good
it.
On him.
I mean,
it's a bit of a statement.
And it's nice that you went up and told him, and it could have gone either way, of course. He could have punched you in the face.
Yeah. No, he appreciated it.
That's very
what about
cool.
you, Dom? You seen anything?
What about me?
Glamorous?
One piece as well. I mean, you have to say that, you know, I don't know, I'm sure listeners have heard of Usk, the British ski brand. I mean, they have burst onto the scene in the last few years with those sort of retro style one pieces.
Yes.
So your man in Courchevel, he's pretty much on trend, isn't he? I mean, there's no tweet yes. about those guys are having it away, and they're very sort of seem to be all the rage, and maybe not so much among our age group, but among the younger, the youth of today, Rob, you do tend to find a lot of people wearing those brightly coloured suits.
No, you're right, actually. Usk maybe was inspired by the Henri Duvillard one piece from the 80s, because, yeah, I see where they're coming from with that.
Very nice. Well, that kit seems to be selling, and it's nice seeing people expressing themselves, being able to wear whatever they want on the slopes and seeing absolutely those fabulous one pieces. I wonder if that still keeps him warm, or if all the, mind you, technical properties of something like that in those days was probably very different from today.
Well, I mean, it was good stuff, actually, in the day, the Henri Duvillard stuff. It wouldn't be up to today's technical standards, I guess, but it was in the day pretty good stuff. Yeah. I mean, just imagine, that's what's so great about skiing, isn't it? You can wear what you like kind of thing. You can express yourself. If you walk down the street, well, certainly in my local town of Hereford, if you walk down the local street in Hereford looking like that, the looks you would get, you'd probably get abused by some people. You'd be laughed at. You know, it would just be ridiculous. You'd feel so self-conscious. Yeah, you know, you walk down any ski resort street in an Henri Duvillard suit and no one even bats an eyelid. Exactly. Well, maybe a few people.
People love it. good on him. I love it. Let's hope he's listening to the podcast now and he writes in so he can be on next week's podcast with us. That'll be fun.
You never know.
I got a message from somebody this morning saying, I'm going to Selva. Can you please cover Selva in your snow report? So that was great hearing from a listener there saying, I know your podcast is coming up and I want to hear what the weather's right. So that'll be good.
But— fantastic. That's really nice to hear from listeners like that. And fantastic that people contact us asking about snow report. I'm just going to say you're gonna have a great time in Selva this week.
Snow's such pretty a lovely good place out there as well. Love the food very in Selva. Nice. Great restaurants, great hotels, lovely place.
Yes.
So that's for a bit later, Rob. Time to mention today's sponsor, Ski Independence and Canada's Alberta. The team at Ski Independence have been sending customers to Alberta ski resorts for almost 30 years. With oodles of personal experience, they know all the best places to stay, the best travel options, and everything in between, from Banff's best après-ski locations to breathtaking scenery at Lake Louise, or how to get the best out of a multi-centre itinerary. They highly recommend road tripping up the spectacular Icefields Parkway between Lake Louise and Jasper for an experience like no other. So go ahead and visit ski-i.com/Alberta to find out more about booking Canada's Alberta with tailor-made specialists Ski Independence.
Excellent. Yes. Looking forward to doing that trip one day.
Absolutely. What have we got? We're going on to the news now. What have we got in the news this week? What's going on? What's going on out there?
Okay, so this one involves a quick shout out to Patrick Thorne, editor, of course, of In the Snow magazine, who every 2 months releases his World Dry Slope news, which normally has around 8 or 9 news items about dry ski slopes from around the world. Now, I mean, that is dedication, right, to the job.
Definitely.
I got the latest news last week, and I thought, I mean, every 2 months you release a whole bunch of news about dry ski slopes from around the world. And he finds things about dry ski slopes that you just wouldn't ever. How did he get that? Anyway, he knows everything. I thought it was worth mentioning a news story on there about a new dry ski slope in Kingussie, the Loch Inch Outdoor Centre. And like Kingussie, I used to work for the ski school based in Kingussie many years ago, and it opened with a pro slope surface.
Okay.
Yeah, also seen at 5 other slopes around the country, including Tallington Lakes and Snow Tracks.
Yeah.
This slope was crowdfunded by the Freshwater family. Mm-hmm. They've owned that centre for decades, and they're very much a part of the ski industry too. So it is great to see new slopes opening. I just thought that was worth mentioning.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's loads of events coming up over the springtime as well in the Alps. So La Clusa, where we were a little bit earlier this year, has launched its circus festival called Radio Mur. Pronounce that right? Radio Mur, which I'll put in Radio the Mur. Notes of the podcast. April 4th to April 7th, which includes a number of acts over several nights in the French ski resort. So that sounds very cool. €37 for a ticket. You can buy them online, which I'll put the link in the notes here, which is circus.radiomure.com. Definitely sounding like something a bit different. Quite a nice tradition to the festival circuit. Seems to be growing and growing in the springtime. Loads of things going on across the Alps. Yeah, sounds like good fun. And Le Clos are very nice. It's a long time since I've been there. And then when I went there recently with you, Rob, I did look and think, wow, this is a really nice resort. What a pretty place.
Yeah, really it is nice. Yeah. Really nice. Proper town, isn't it? Proper
yeah, it
French
is.
Town. Good skiing area.
Good size. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. At a circus festival, I mean, that's a bit different, isn't it? I like that.
Mm. Yeah, definitely different from all the sort of music festivals and everything else that goes on. So yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, there's loads of things happening. We haven't actually mentioned ski racing very much over the past few weeks, but you know, sort of looking towards the end of the season now for the Alpine ski racing circuit.
Yeah,
I don't know if you saw it last weekend. I managed to catch the slalom at the Palisades Tahoe.
Oh yeah,
and won by Austria's Manuel Feller, but. Both Dave Riding and Billy Major qualified for the second run. Unfortunately, yep. Billy failed to finish the second run. He made a mistake quite close to the top of the course, and Dave ended up in 24th place, which is disappointing for his standards. But, you know, still World Cup points.
Yep.
Keeps him in eighth place overall in the slalom rankings. And the women's races were cancelled, right, due to heavy snow accumulations in Italy. Note that, Al Selva listener.
Yeah.
And even this week, more FIS races have been cancelled due to too much snow. And, you know, this weekend we've got the women's speed races in Kvitfjell in Norway and the men's GS and slalom in Aspen, Colorado.
Beautiful.
And then the women head to Ora in Sweden and the men to Slovenia before everyone comes together in Saalbach in Austria for the World Cup finals. That's from March the 16th to 24th. And then, bang, end of the season, everyone goes on holiday to the Maldives. Well, maybe the lucky ones that have done quite well anyway.
Quick plug for the Maldives there. Well, it's been a pretty long and tricky season with the races being cancelled at the start and at the end of the season for too much snow. I mean, can you believe it?
Right.
I can't believe it.
I mean, it's totally ironic when the media only covers stories about lack of snow, yet the most important events of the winter are cancelled because there's too much of the stuff.
Yeah,
sorry, I'm not going to rant.
It's crazy, isn't it? Absolutely unbelievable. Well, I've spotted a new activity in it, and it's very Japanese, although who knows, it might catch on here too, Rob. So it's Japanese snow rafting.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get pulled along on a large inflatable raft by a snowmobile, and up to three people sit in it. What could possibly go wrong? This is taking place in Niseko, of course, famous for its powder conditions. And according to somebody there, said the rafting sessions are suitable for all ages. Can you imagine?
Well, I can imagine.
Not sure.
Yeah, I think I'll stick to the powder, thanks. I mean, all ages, that is very Japanese. I remember in New Zealand, we used to race down slopes on rafts. Incredibly dangerous. I saw the most horrific accidents. This does look, I took a look at this news story. It does look a bit safer than that, to be fair. They're just towing people along, gentle slope.
Wonder if they considered pulling it just by a horse or a dog pulled sled, but doing it with a skidoo sounds even more terrifying.
Good on them for trying something different, I suppose.
Yeah. So what else have we got?
Yeah, okay. A couple of other things. Les Arcs just put out a press release saying they've had 81% commercial apartment occupancy in January compared to an average of 75% in France overall. I think
sounds good.
This in itself isn't, I mean, I don't know if it's that interesting in some ways, but it does show a healthy situation in the resort.
For sure.
Without understanding what that 75% average means, it's hard to compare. But, you know, anyway, good to know they are busy. That's nice.
Yep.
I think more interestingly in the press release, it then states that the resort at 2,000 meters of altitude has 485 centimeters of snow compared to 130 centimeters at the same time last year.
Unbelievable. And all we keep reading in the national press is melting and no snow and can't ski. And yet, listen to these reports. I mean, it is absolutely unbelievable. Well,
yeah.
I mean, I believe that because we've seen a lot of snow all over 1800 this season. I know that 70% of the Les Arcs skiing area is above 2000 meters. Maybe understanding what that longer term occupancy rate is going to be good. I guess 81% in January sounds very good. I wouldn't expect it to be 100% that way.
Absolutely. But yeah, I think most resorts would take that actually.
Yeah, 100%
in January. Yeah. Right, Dom, time to look at our regular snow and weather report.
Yeah, Rob, what are we seeing across Europe?
This week's weather roundup is brought to you by Ski Weekends, the flexible ski holiday experts. Choose from 10 fantastic catered chalets and over 100 hotels in over 40 resorts. You can stay as long as you like. TheSkiWeekends.com.
3 months, please, ski weekends.
Yes.
I'll take that the form. Entire winter.
That right, would be nice. Good.
Snow report at last. We love to talk about the snow. It's what we're here for, really, isn't it? All the other banter that goes around it. We're only here to talk about the snow. Where's best to ski now?
I mean, it's a mixed bag, if I'm being completely honest, right? I'm going to start with that. Italy seems to have had the biggest snowfalls down to the lower levels. So the Southern Alps in general are looking much better now. Places yeah. such as Serre Chevalier have benefited from that too. But there's still not much snow at lower levels anywhere. You know, I'm just going to put that out there because we've got to, you know, have some balance here. But that said, we know the snow above, say, 1,500, 1,600 meters is really good and plentiful across the Alps. And it is now colder with fairly cold temperatures in the forecast going forward. Relatively. Yeah. So I do think we can be positive and say we'll see very good conditions through March.
Yeah. Especially if you're adding some of those high altitude areas, you know, the sort of Tien, Val d'Isère, Three Valleys, like Zermatt, Switzerland, Arlberg region, that sort of stuff. So yeah, definitely good snow in all of those places, like you say, in those higher up resorts.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, but let's look at some specifics and then we can mention some of those lower resorts as well, I suppose.
Yeah.
Morzine and Leger.
Yeah.
You know, okay. So very little snow actually in town, but the upper runs have been refreshed with new snow. And in general, it's in good shape on the higher slopes of Leger and, of course, of Vauriaz, where there's also plenty of snow. If you look at what is actually open in the Leger Morzine skiing area, about two-thirds of the runs are open.
Yeah.
When it comes to the black runs, not so much happening there, but, you know, up in Vauriaz, basically 100% of the area is open, with the exception of, you know, the odd black run, which is close. So that's not unusual either.
No, of course.
So it's a good situation in regards to the skiing on piste and with a bit of fresh snow, bit of off piste as well. In regards to a forecast for the northern French Alps region in total, around 50 centimeters of snow is forecast for the next 7 days.
Wow.
And that is down to around 1,000 meters.
Okay.
Right.
That's good.
So great news. Longer term forecast is suggesting more to come with continued lower temperatures. If we look at Tien, there's even more snow forecast. And then, of course, great cover already there. So those, you know, I'm going to predict that Tien and other resorts in the region will have excellent snow conditions throughout the whole of March. And I can update that when I'm there myself from the 18th of March.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
What about Switzerland, Dom?
Yeah. I mean, pretty similar situation from what I've seen. I mean, Verbier doesn't have a lot of snow in town, but when you look at the mountain, it's a very different picture altogether. Montgelet has, you know, fantastic cover, really, possibly the best in years. So again, anything over 1,800 is really good. Similar forecast, 50 centimetres of snow in the forecast over the next week. Other resorts of the Valais show a very similar situation. And then on the other side of the country, St. Moritz is looking in great shape with snow-filled valley and about another 50 centimetres of snow forecast in the next week there. I mean, 50 centimetres is not to be sniffed at, is it? I mean, it's getting on for a couple of feet, that. And then in about a week, the nighttime temperatures are falling to around minus 15. So, yeah, it's looking like winter there properly. So what about Austria? Have you got much on Austria, Rob?
Yeah, I had a look at Austria and they've had some very welcome snow there. I'll start in Carinthia because I am heading there on Monday. It's the largest resort, Bad Kleinkirchheim, is looking in decent shape with natural snow down to the valley. Not huge amounts down below, but enough to make it look white and some powder on top as well.
Yeah.
There's a bit of snow forecast next week, possibly around 30 centimetres on the upper slopes. A little bit of freshening up snow type of stuff, I think.
Sounds good.
If we head right over to the western side of the country and look at St. Anton, then things are looking good. You know, pretty good there too. Not huge amounts of snow in resort again, although it is possible to ski right down. But again, on the mountain from like 1,500 metres upwards, there's fantastic coverage on and off piste with snow showers forecast over the next week as well to top things up. So again, that whole region will see around 30 centimetres of new snow in over the next 7 days if the forecast is right.
Oh, sounds good.
So, yeah. What about Italy?
Yep. Dumping in the Aosta Valley. I've seen quite a lot of reports out of there. So it's definitely the place to be right now for snow. Cervinia, that already has fantastic snow coverage. 1.30 meters over the next week, which is incredible.
Wow.
Fantastic. Imagine that. But wait for it. Lagna and Gressoney, 2.5 meters over the next week and snow down to resort level. So That is going to be proper epic conditions out there. I mean, how cool is that going to be?
Yeah. I was speaking to people in Chamonix, actually, who are heading through the tunnel to ski Courmayeur. You know, it's just sometimes the way it works out, that Italian side is just getting dumped on.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Then over the other side of the Alps, you've got fantastic conditions with about 80 centimetres more in the forecast for next week. So, yeah, over the border there, it's looking fantastic.
Yeah, it is. And of course, just worth mentioning, Cortina, very close to Selva as well.
Of course.
And having a look at that sort of area, they've got good snow. They've got good snow conditions on piste and, you know, colder temperatures. And so Italy's had the best of it recently. Yeah. So that's great.
And we'll hear that from Ben and Cloud when we speak next week on our special edition podcast, where we catch up with them. But the last I heard of him in Italy, and I think he was then into Livigno, where he said, "Dom, I can't speak. I have to dig out my car." And he said as fast as he was digging it out of the front, it was filling up at the back. He just couldn't get on top of it. He said it was just absolutely incredible. So,
fantastic.
Great condition.
Kind of thing you get when, if you're out for a season, you should kind of experience that sort of thing, digging out your car.
Absolutely.
Once in a while. How's it looking in North America, Dom?
Yep, pretty good now, especially out west. I'll start in California because we saw great snow conditions in Palisades Tahoe over the weekend for the Men's World Cup. A little bit mild, but great snow. And wait for it, they're expecting 3 meters of snow and super cold temperatures over the next 7 days. So, I mean, unbelievable.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
That's amazing. Yeah.
And it's been snowing in Colorado too. New snow in places like Vail, around 30 to 40 centimeters forecast over the next week. And a similar picture across the rest of the Colorado state. So a mix of sun and snow showers topping things up. Temperatures just below freezing in the day, down to about minus 20 at night. So perfect conditions, really.
Nice.
And the East Coast hasn't had it. That's not the best winter, but Killington and others have had pretty good snow cover now, and a bit more coming over the next week or so. It looks a little bit spring-like there, but it's looking all right.
Yeah,
it's holding up.
Okay.
What about Canada? Have we got anything on Canada?
Yeah, getting a bit of a turnaround in BC from what was looking like a bit of a mediocre season in places. Kicking Horse, powder all the way with great conditions down to the base, about 40 centimetres to come over the next week or so. Same down in Fernie, and even more forecast, actually. Anyone heading to that region is going to get plenty of powder, I think, over the next couple of weeks.
I'm really hoping the Whistler get dumped on, because that's where I'm heading at the end of March. I've only got 4 weeks, and I know they've had a bit of a struggle of a season, so let's hope that they get treated. I know they've had a little bit over the last few days, so I'm really hoping that gets a bit of a turnaround.
I was also looking at Japan, actually, and then I found out that... James Gambrell, who we both know very well from Ski Club Great Britain, is actually there at the moment. So I managed to catch up with James, and he has given us his own report about what the snow was like in Japan this week.
Let's hear that now.
Hi, James.
Hey, Rob. How are you doing?
Good. So tell us where you are exactly, or have...
Right at this moment, I am in Tokyo. Yep. I've just left the resort of Nakoma Mountain, which is about 3 hours north, so central Honshu. So I was skiing this morning, got on the bullet train, got into Tokyo a few hours ago.
So central Honshu, so you've been skiing in that middle island that is where Tokyo is also located, right?
Yeah, exactly that. So the closest skiing to Tokyo.
Okay, brilliant. And what has the snow been like? What's it been like this week?
So as I say, I was skiing this morning. There was about 30 centimetres of fresh snow that fell last night.
Nice.
Now, it's not the light, dry Japanese powder that maybe everybody would expect. Japan has had a bit of a mixed season. The conditions have been good up in Hokkaido in the far north. In Honshu, it has snowed, but it's been warm, just like it has been in much of Europe. They haven't had quite the snow they normally would have. I think what's funny is that everyone has been kind of telling me, oh, this is a very bad season. This isn't the season we've had. I tell you what, if this is a bad season, you can just see how incredible a normal season would be, because I've been here 6 days. We've had 3 snowfalls. I've woken up to fresh powder 2 days out of 6. And yes, it's more, you know, I guess European style snow. It's a little bit heavier, but it's still fresh snow, and there's a lot of it. And what's incredible is that you can just see that it's just the norm here, because there's no rush to get up the lift. There's no kind of fighting for fresh tracks. You know, you can just ski laps on a chairlift, and there's no one else there. It's quite an incredible experience. And it is still forecast to keep snowing. They're hoping to keep going until kind of mid-April. Some of the Honshu resorts will go through to May, which is the golden week in Japan when everyone's on holiday. So, you know, okay. I think we'll see what happens here as with everywhere else. But yes, you know, not a vintage season. Oh, there's still a lot of snow out here.
That sounds great. Yeah. I mean, obviously the reputation for snow in Japan is what they build everything on, right? And it's pretty reliable. And as you say, maybe not the best winter overall in their mind. And then you turn up and ski powder for a few days and that's in a bad season.
Yep.
Inverted commas. So brilliant. Okay. Yeah. And you've heard up north in Hokkaido, things are also pretty good up there, I think, at the moment as well. I think they've got a lot of snow.
Yeah, they've got a lot of snow. So, you know, it's just the nature of Japan. I mean, if you look at where it is on a map, you can just see, and you could see it so clearly when you're here, you know, that big landmass of Siberia, the storms roll across and they just hit the mountains and that's it. The snow comes down and it's incredible how quickly, you know, I'd heard from others who'd skied here about how quickly it can mount up. So, you know, we went to bed last night without any hint of there being any kind of snowstorm. There was no snow forecast. It's almost like 30 centimeters overnight doesn't really warrant a forecast here. That's just kind of weather, right? That's not snow. And so we woke up this morning and 30 centimeters outside. And kind of filling our tracks as we skied. So, it's not the epic season that they sometimes have, but I think there is nowhere else in the world like this place for snow. It is quite incredible.
It's a bit like, I don't know if you remember the sketch in the Fast Show where they used to do the Spanish weather forecast and all they would say is scorchio. And I guess it's the same. It's the same in Japan. It's just the other way around. They just might as well just say snow.
Exactly. That's what it's going to be. And I think that, you know, again, you know, we talk about powder, right? We maybe talk about it being a bit heavier or a bit lighter, but it's kind of like if it snows, it snows and it's fresh snow and that's great. I think, again, this is a bit more like the Eskimos with 1,000 words for snow. You know, they really talk about the kind of the different grades and the different lightness and everything else. So, you know, again, a bad snow year for them is that they don't have the kind of lightest, driest powder imaginable. But it's just a different level. The volumes of snow and the descriptions of it are just, it's a whole different thing. And there's still mounds of snow around the roads. You know, you drive around, there's still just so much snow. And they keep pointing out where the snow would normally be at this time of year. And you just get a sense of just how incredible the depths would be in a typical year. So, you know, I think it'll be good again. But I mean, yeah, look, if you come to Japan in a bad snow year, don't fret. You're still going to have an amazing time and you're still going to have a lot of stuff.
Excellent. Well, good to catch up with you, James. Have a good trip back to the UK. I know it's late at night there.
Thanks very much.
All right.
Cheers. I'm off to bed soon. Take care.
See you. Bye. Yeah, so plenty of snow down there.
Yeah, not that I'm jealous at all. James Garble, who is he anyway? I mean,
who's that guy?
James Garble, who is this guy?
We don't like him anymore, do we?
Exactly, no longer a friend.
Was a really nice bloke. Oh, that just changed.
So
I think, the worldwide situation for snow is actually looking very good now as we head into March. I think very little time spent in pubs during the day or even playing Monopoly. Reference to our last podcast there.
Well, it does seem to be a pattern forming for sure, because this is happening across multiple seasons now where you get that decent start to December, slightly tricky weather throughout January and a little bit all over the place, and then February and then March, April, suddenly you're getting great snow conditions. And I know I can remember having the same conversation last year. It was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, right. I think I agree. A pattern does seem to be forming. The thing is, in January when it did rain, that the temperature was right on that cusp.
Yeah.
A few degrees lower, it would have been snow.
Oh, can you imagine?
You know, not much in it. I suppose the question is, in the next few years, what that temperature, you know, will that temperature continue to rise?
Yeah.
Data suggests that it will. Mm-hmm. So we need to manage that, potentially prepare for a warm spell midwinter every season. Is that what we're looking at? Maybe.
Yeah maybe. Well, definitely over the last few years, that later season has been the time to go and have a good time in the powder. And, you know, so, let's just see how it pans out. In the end of the day, the weather's the weather. I said to somebody the other day, the weather's the weather. It's going to do what it's going to do. So you just got to, you know, choose your destination and choose your timing and do what you can. In the end of the day, you know, if you do go somewhere, I know it is disappointing if you get, you know, trickier weather or whatever, but the mountains are fantastic places to be, whatever the weather. And, you know, you can make a great holiday of it, whatever happens. Obviously, we all want the skiing, but you can make a great holiday of the mountains, whatever happens.
Yeah, I agree. I've skied through every month this winter so far, including through the trickiest times in January. And I still had great skiing. I'm being honest. I still had great on-piste skiing.
Yeah.
And okay, there was the odd day where the weather wasn't brilliant. But, you know, in general, it was absolutely fine. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right, that's gear it section. For the weather this week. Thank you, Ski Weekends, for sponsoring our weather section this week. I was going to say, but I meant this week. And after that, we are heading over to Gear Corner.
Light's gone. I'm going to change these lenses, people.
To find out what's going on the gear, Rob. So I will kick this off because I got my hands on the Tyrolia Protector Attack binding. I don't know whether you know this binding, but Tyrolia are a massive manufacturer of bindings. And I know many people don't even think about their bindings because they just buy a pair of skis and it gets slapped on with a pair of bindings. And they just, you know, they're more excited about the graphics of the skis and whether they're the right skis for, which is understandable. But the very cool thing about the Protector Attack binding, and I will put a link in the notes, is that it doesn't just release at the toe, as we're all used to.
Right.
Actually has a full degree of movement in the heel release as well. So you get the toe and heel release. I can't remember the percentage, but there is, I'm sure there's a percentage heel release or an angle of however many degrees of heel release. But the whole point is obviously that when you do have a tumble, that you've got that extra release for your heel and helps with any knee injuries or Achilles injuries and really helps towards that. So yeah, I think that's a very, very cool. I've actually managed to get my hands on a set and I've got those on my ski. So it's not the sort of thing that every day you're sitting there going, oh, I've got my Protector Attack bindings on. I'm so pleased with those. You know, it's not like having, but one day if you take a tumble, they could be the things you're looking at and thinking, you rescued my Achilles or you rescued my knee here. So yeah, pretty cool.
It's a serious bit of kit, isn't it? I mean, £320 for a binding. So it's a serious bit of kit.
It is.
I do remember, and I'm pretty sure, you know, I haven't done the, I haven't looked at this. I'm just going straight off the top of my head. But I seem to remember that, I think it was Tyrolia many, many years ago had a similar binding that also used to twist at the heel. And so they've got a big history of this kind of technology. And obviously they've updated that technology and they've released a sort of free ride binding.
Yeah.
That does that, which looks really interesting. And I'm not sure why they stopped doing the heel release back in the day. Maybe the toe release just got better. I don't know, but I think it certainly worked. I mean, there's, you know, it certainly worked back then. So yeah, really interesting.
Very cool. Well, sound of that then. So what else?
Okay. CDAS. All right. The CDAS ski comfort socks. So these are anatomical ski socks. But they're also providing warmth, a bit of extra warmth, protection as well, comfort during your skiing day. Made from recycled fiber and merino wool too. So it's a blend. And these socks, they're designed to whisk moisture away from your feet to ensure optimal breathability. And that is really key when you're skiing. Because if you have a thick sock and it's not breathing properly, what happens? Your feet actually get sweaty, even though it's cold outside. Then you go on a ski lift, like a chairlift, and your feet freeze and you've got problems. So, you know, breathability in socks is really, really important. So you can check these out on skiracing.co.uk and they're £25 retail. So, you know, if you're going to buy a pair of socks, try them out. And they sound very good. They sound great socks. I'm very into my ski socks and I haven't tried these, but I'll give them a go for sure.
Yeah, I too. Very important. Ski socks are underrated. People just go out and buy a cheap, nasty pair of socks that, it's the worst thing you can do. You just really need a decent pair of ski socks. And if you buy, I'm not going to say it, if you buy a really decent pair of socks, you don't need to be changing them every day. And, you know, they are they're worth their weight in gold for sure.
So, can I do a quick tip here?
Yeah,
just come in, because I remember like a couple of weeks ago I was skiing with my teenage daughter, and every time she put her ski boots on, she'd tuck she wouldn't pull out the base layer out of the boot, or she'd tuck something into it, and then I didn't notice, and then suddenly she'd be complaining about rubbing on her, you know, shins. And the thing is, with a good ski sock, is that you just want that ski sock to have contact with the boot. You don't want anything else getting in the ski sock's way. You don't want a base layer. You don't want your ski trousers, anything in there. Pull it all out and just have the ski sock in there. Exactly. It's a good ski sock. You won't have problems with your shins.
Good advice, Rob. Make sure your daughter listens to this podcast.
She still won't. She still won't make any difference. It wouldn't make any difference.
The other thing I got my hands on, which is super exciting, I'm not going to say what happened to it, but an Insta360 camera. Ooh, very cool. Yeah. Look up the Insta360 X3. So this is a, let me think, how big is it? Smaller than a mobile phone. It's a camera. Yep. It films, constantly films in 360 degrees. And very, very slick. When you, it actually blurs out the selfie stick. So the selfie stick disappears altogether. I'd say its best use is in selfie action. It's probably not for filming. If you're going to film other people, you might as well just film on anything because anything could film.
Yeah.
But the great thing about this is when you get back, you can select the view that you want. So I can show either me skiing or me on a chairlift, or I can show the view of where I was going, or I could use both of those clips. So it's actually very, very slick indeed. And you don't see the selfie stick at all. So it actually looks like a mini drone hovering in front of you. Its price is £460. Loads of accessories, especially ski accessories, things that you can mount on your pole, on your chest, on your head. You can basically mount it anyway. I think this even got a wrist mount. Very, very slick. It's a great bit of kit. I think it's a fun bit of kit and it produces some great footage. The very cool thing you can do is when I went dog sledding, I filmed the dog sledding, some of it. And when I got back, instead of sitting there trying to edit it myself to create something, I literally just pressed. It's got like an AI version of editing. So just basically show me a compilation of the best clips and it created its own mini movie. And literally within seconds, I had this 360 degree and it was very, very slick. So check that out.
Hmm.
Store.insta360.com. If you're into your selfie sticks and your cameras and all that sort of stuff, great fun bit of kit for sure.
Nice. Okay. This one, I think I need this. It's called a bear hug.
Yeah.
It's a bamboo knee support. It provides both compression and it also promotes blood flow to the joints, ligaments as well, and all the surrounding muscles. So,
get a bear hug. Get a bear hug.
Support on the slopes helps you recover, apparently, from aches and pains.
Nice.
At prey. So stick it on. Yeah. Stick on the bear hug around your knee and it helps you recover. So it looks like a nice piece of kit. Very, very fun thing as well.
Yeah.
You can get it at getabearhug.com.
Good name.
Get a bear. Or even decathlon.co.uk. They stock it as well. So that's $44.99.
So it's a proper knee compression. Yeah. It's a proper knee brace, basically. Like, not a brace, but a knee. Yeah. Knee support. Yeah.
A knee support. It's a bamboo knee support. So it's not a medical piece of kit. You know, it's not something that a doctor or a physio is going to issue you stuff. But yeah, it looks good. Looks good.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Well, that's a nice little gear roundup for this week.
A shout out today to our friends at the Snow Centre in Hemel Hempstead, London's closest indoor real snow slope and the largest trainer slope in the country. With a team of highly qualified ski and snowboard instructors running private and group lessons for all ages, a huge 160-meter main slope, family snow fun with a Ringo slide and an alpine theme bar and restaurant. There is something for everyone. Visit thesnowcentre.com for more information.
Ah, great place, Rob. We love the Snow Centre. Nice and near to me. So very handy whenever we fancy a little snow fix.
It's a great place, isn't it? Just a nice atmosphere in there as well. That's the good thing about it.
Love it. Mm. What have we got next going into our resort spotlight? Rob, what have we got in store this week for our resort spotlight? I know you mentioned Spain, and it's not a place that I know for skiing. I know about it for when I go to the beach, but what are we talking about this week?
Yeah, so most people know the Pyrenees, obviously Andorra as well, but there's also ski resorts on the Spanish side of the Pyrenees, such as Baquera, which is probably the best, most well-known ski resort.
Yeah.
It's well-known. There's also some small ski areas close to Madrid, probably not really enough for sort of international visitors. But then if you head further south, right, in fact, all the way south to Granada, there's a single standalone ski resort there called Sierra Nevada.
I like the sound of that. I've heard of it. I have heard of Sierra Nevada. I've seen some great photos come out of there. It's not a place I know, but I guess a lot of British skiers may or may not have been there. If you're talking about spring skiing, it's quite a long way south, isn't it? So warm. Yep.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, it's also very high, though. It goes up to well over 3,000 meters.
Okay.
The season does normally last until the end of April, actually.
Okay.
I mean, maybe not from mid-station downwards, but you know, there's plenty from mid-station upwards.
Okay.
I'm looking at conditions right now as we head into March. They've got decent cover. I'd say it looks like around two-thirds of the skiing area is fully open at the moment. The upper mountain is in good shape, actually. Yep. And you can still ski down to the resort village right now.
So what's the ski area like then? I mean, is it a massive, big ski area? I mean, what sort of ski area?
You know, it's fairly sizable. I mean, everything is pretty much above the tree line, and there's some really sort of wide open slopes up there. There's a really, really good learner skiing area just above the mid station of Borigil. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but Borigil, which is also the main hub of the ski resort, reached by a couple of gondolas from the village. There's actually six separate ski sectors on the mountain, and there's around 112 kilometers of slopes in total. So respectable. I think right now with what's open, there's about 75 kilometers available at the moment. It does have, as far as I know, it's got the highest vertical drop in Spain, and they do hold a number of international skiing and snowboarding competitions there.
Okay.
You know, regular World Cup events. In 2017, they hosted the Freestyle World Championships. And back in 1996, they also staged the Alpine Skiing World Championships there as well.
Okay. So pretty respectable ski area. They're not huge, but nice. And I guess, you know, if you like exploring different runs every day, you're not going to get bored for a few days at least.
Exactly. And yeah, you won't get bored. Terrain is pretty varied. There's a nice mix of blues, reds, the odd black. When there's fresh powder, there's some great off-piste skiing opportunities as well, just in the bowls around the main ski area. You don't have to go too far afield. During the week, non-holiday weeks, you know, it doesn't get that busy. I mean, I went there a few years ago in February half-term week. I was actually fine. This winter, they've opened four new lifts, brand new. New chairlifts replacing some old ones, and a replacement gondola for one of the main ones that goes out of the resort. So big investments in what is already a pretty decent lift infrastructure, actually.
Oh, nice. Nice resort.
Yeah, it's very purpose-built, but it looks quite nice. I mean, it's a nice spread of buildings, including hotels and chalets. It feels a little bit like an American ski resort in some ways to me.
Oh, wow.
You know, there's sort of base area where everything goes from. Lots of cafes, bars and restaurants in that area.
Mm-hmm.
I went there as a family. We found it really convenient, actually. Easy to manage. Not much walking around to the ski lifts.
Yeah.
There's a bit of ski in, ski out accommodation as well. Good atmosphere during après. You know, not manic, just nice. Spanish, few beers and tapas dishes.
Yeah.
And not really expensive at all. I mean, you know, prices are higher than, say, down in the town of Granada, but get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But still very reasonable. I think I remember paying a few euros, literally, for a beer and tapas at the bottom of the slopes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. That sounds like a bit of me. I mean, that sounds great. So accommodation, nice accommodation, hotels, that sort of stuff.
Yep. There's a number of hotels, quite a few large four stars that aren't necessarily cheap, but they are good value, you know, decent quality. I did a quick online search today for the hotel that I stayed in when I was there, the four star Melia.
Mm-hmm.
And for five nights in March for two adults, including breakfast and dinner was good, you know, lots of courses and all that sort of stuff. It's coming in at around £1,000, which you know, that's for two people. That was for two people, which for half board in a four-star hotel right in town isn't bad at all, right?
It's really good.
That doesn't include anything else. It's just a hotel. I could get a nice one-bedroom apartment for half of that price for five nights and others that look decent enough for even less than that.
Yeah. Well, that sounds really good. So is there much else to do there? I mean, is it sort of place where there's other stuff?
Yeah, great question. A lot, really. The first thing is how close it is to the city of Granada.
Okay.
It's about a 40-minute drive between the two.
Okay.
And it's worth staying there for a night or two, especially if you want to combine a visit to the Alhambra, the 11th century palace built by Muslim rulers of Spain nearly 1,000 years ago. It's now a UNESCO World Heritage Site. You know, it's a bit quieter in the winter months as well. So that's definitely worth seeing.
Yeah.
Granada's a fun city. It's worth checking out the flamenco evenings or, you know, just the €1 beer and tapas bars that I found. That was a few years ago, but, you know, it's great for food, not particularly expensive, especially if you're prepared to sort of seek those things out.
Yeah.
And then back up in Sierra Nevada itself, there's, you know, some of the usual non-skiing activities. There's a toboggan ride, you know, one of those fixed toboggan rides and also toboggan slopes. We actually took a cat machine up to the top of the mountain. We didn't have to drive that. We were driven up there. You get driven up at sunset, where you can then see the sun setting and the coast of North Africa.
Wow.
As well.
That's slick.
Yeah. But actually, I think the best thing of all, maybe, is, especially during the spring, is the chance to combine a trip with visiting Malaga on the coast. Oh, yeah. You know, a couple of hours drive, really cool city. And there's a beach.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not really realistic to ski. They say, oh, you can do ski and beach in a day. I mean, that's a bit of a tall order, that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you do a night or two in Malaga and combine it, you know, Torremolinos is down the road.
Torremolinos.
Well. Yeah, yeah.
Marbella.
Not too far away. You know, Malaga's the airport to fly in and out of anyway. So it makes sense to combine the two.
Sounds great.
That's really nice.
I like the sound of this. A nice way to mix skiing in the city. So yeah, I like it. What about booking a holiday there? What's the tour operators go there, I guess?
Yep, there used to be several. Unfortunately, you know, I think since COVID, maybe some of them haven't gone back, but Ski Solutions offer the 4-star Melia and also the 5-star. I've been to that place. It's really, really nice. Great food. They package that up with flights and a transfer. So I guess there's a package there.
Yeah.
I actually spoke to Ski Weekends earlier as well, and they've traditionally operated in the resort and they can take bookings for Sierra Nevada, and they're looking to put that back on their program properly again for next season as well.
Okay. Interesting.
So you could do short breaks as well with Ski Weekends, which is, you know, easy to do. You can book independently. You know, when I went February half term week, I found flights with TUI. You can put them separately. They weren't expensive. They're really cheap, actually. Wow. And we were the only skiers on the flight. Like, everyone else was going to Torremolinos, literally. And then I just rented a car and drove to Granada and then on to Sierra Nevada after that before heading back to Malaga. So we stayed a couple of nights in Granada, 4 nights in Sierra Nevada, 1 night in Malaga. So
what's that total drive then from Malaga up to the resort?
I think you can do the resort. Oh, gosh, I need to check. I think you can do the resort in 3 hours from Malaga.
Okay. Yeah.
Or maybe just over 3 hours.
That's reasonable.
To the actual resort. Granada's a couple of hours.
Yeah. That sounds good.
That sort of drive. Yeah.
It's like a pretty decent experience. I like the sound of that. It's a nice mix of skiing and culture and potentially even getting down for a few days in the sun too. I quite like the sound of that, especially if you went, you know, if you went at this time of the year, if you went Easter, I mean, if they still had half-sensible snow, you'd probably start heading into that sort of 20-degree temperature down at the beach if you went back down to Malaga. Be all right, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I did a weather search for Malaga today, the first week of March, right? It's 19 degrees and sunny down there.
Lovely.
I mean, it's not tropical, but you know, it was a similar temperature during the Feb half term week when we were there as well.
Wow.
So not sitting on the beach and then going for a swim kind of weather.
No.
But you know,
oh yeah, but
pleasant.
Well, it'll feel even warmer coming from the ski resort as well. So you're gonna see like a 15 odd or 20 degree change from where you've just been. So I think that'd be pretty cool.
And, you know, in February, late February or early March, when it's still cold in the UK, to get that kind of nice, pleasant 19, 20 degrees in the middle of the day.
Absolutely.
It's very, very nice. And of course, when you mentioned Easter, you know, the chances are it's going to be even warmer during Easter. So you can definitely do some skiing and some beach time for sure. Mm.
I definitely like that contrast. I like the sound of that, Rob. I'll tell you another thing I like the sound of is our bucket list trip for this week as we leave behind in our tail lights the Malaga, Granada, and Sierra Nevada, and we head to none other than sunny Turkey.
Ooh.
That popular summer destination for our bucket list destination.
Absolutely. it's not obviously... It's not the obvious skiing destination, is it?
No.
But they've got a lot of mountainous terrain there.
Yeah.
Get a lot of snow in the winter.
Yeah.
I haven't skied there myself, although I've skied on the border, Georgia-Turkey border, which was amazing. Yeah. So, thing is, our friends, right? Snowboard journalist Luke Rees from all365.com and Jamie Barrow, record-breaking speed snowboarder. They are there right now, actually, cat skiing and splitboarding on a trip that I nearly went on.
What a bit of luck, Rob, because featuring Turkey this week on our bucket list destination. Neither of us have been there. Thank goodness we found somebody who was there. I mean, isn't that just luck?
Yes. That's very, very convenient that they happen to be there this week.
Fantastic. Well, Rob, so you managed to catch up with them. Let's have a listen to what they've got to say, because I'm pretty keen to find out, because I too have another friend who's out in Turkey this week as well. We could have hooked the tour. Oh, wow. Let's hear what Luke and Jamie had to say about Turkey. Let's get a listen.
Hi, guys. So where are you now?
We're in the Kakar Mountains in Turkey, which is in northeast of the country, kind of towards the Georgian border near the Black Sea.
Wow, fantastic. And what is the snow like where you are right now?
I mean, it's been it's a couple of weeks old, the snow at the moment, but right up top, we're finding even 2 weeks old, because we're in the middle of nowhere, we're still finding these amazing fresh tracks. A bit of a hiking up, but you can get some absolutely amazing terrain around here.
Okay. For any of our listeners, I'm on a video call with you right now. And if you go onto YouTube, you'll actually be able to look at where you are, guys. I can see you've got a big snow cat right behind you. So what were you doing today? Were you in that snow cat machine?
Yeah. So at the moment, we the cats itself. So this is a new cat skiing area at the moment. So there's a bit of avalanche risk a bit higher up. So the cat's taking us up majority of the way. And then to get the really good lines, we then hike up a little bit further, about an hour up. Yeah, and then you get the whole ridge down from loads of different ways all the way down.
So we've been snowshoeing up, but some of the group, we're here on a powder mad ski trip. Some of the group have been split boarding, some have been ski touring. And I mean, it has been quite difficult, some of the climbs, but it's been well worth it, because the powder, considering how long it's been since it last snowed, the powder's been amazing.
And so you mentioned Powder Mad there. Powder Mad, exactly what is Powder Mad?
Powder Mad, it's an amazing kind of group and a community, which they've kind of made up together to do these amazing trips. And what they don't just go to the normal destinations, they come to like more interesting destinations to go. But it's a community of people who all want to go and ride powder. And so they just set up these trips and people just book in on it. And it's just an amazing community.
Yeah. There's a real camaraderie between the between all the different skiers and snowboarders. And you really, I mean, you could come out here not on a powder mad trip, but you gain so much by being on it, including kind of extra expertise with guides for mainland Europe. So I think it's well worth.
But I think as well, what's great is that you don't need to put a whole group together to go get the cat, because normally you need to fill up a cat of like 12 people. Right. Whereas you can come on your own to these trips. Okay. And so even if you know no one, you just meet people.
Nice. Okay, so what about Kakar Mountains right now? Have you snowboarded anywhere else in Turkey? Are you going anywhere else in Turkey to snowboard? Are you based there
I haven't done it, but
I've been here once before. I went heli skiing just over the other side of the range, which was also, that was incredible. But about 10 times as expensive. So, so it's, the cat skiing is a bit less intense than heli skiing, but you're on the same mountains. We were looking at possibly going to a ski resort in Erzurum, which is the nearest big town, which is where we flew into, which is 4 hours away. But it's lower down than we are, so the snow's not going to be very good. But it's there as a backup. So if you arrive and the mountain passes are closed, you can ski there and it would be closed because there's powder. So you'd still get a good time. It's a good free ride and resort, apparently.
Give us a sense of what it's like. I know Luke, we a couple of seasons ago went to North Macedonia to go cat skiing. So first of all, how does it compare to that experience that we had in North Macedonia? And also maybe how different is it to going skiing in the Alps, you know, places that most people are used to go skiing or snowboarding in?
Okay, well, it's not dissimilar to the experience in Macedonia, but here the cat ski operation's a lot newer. So this is its first proper year. And it doesn't go all over the mountains like it did when we were in Macedonia. It takes you up, and then from there, there's lots of lines you could take down without hiking. or you can hike up further. And as Jamie said, there was one particular ridge, there was an avalanche risk, so they couldn't take the cat all the way to the top, which is a bit disappointing because we had to walk a bit further. Compared to Macedonia, it's quite similar, except here we are literally in the middle of nowhere, whereas in Macedonia we were very close to Skopje, the capital. Here it's right. Literally 4 hours to the nearest town.
I think I'm just like, I didn't know it. Because it's like a new operation, that actually makes it so exciting, because we're in this area which is generally in the middle of nowhere. It's a new operation. They've never done cat skiing around here. So we're actually reaching terrain that people haven't even rushed. We even got told one of the runs we did today, we might have got a first descent because they've never done it. We're in a completely new terrain. So I think over the years, when they start getting more and more permissions and they start understanding the snowpack more, and the road going up, they'll start expanding more and more. So it's kind of exciting to be here now and seeing where it could go.
And what's the accommodation like in the place that you're staying in? Is it a small town? Is there a village? Is it you're laughing at me?
No. I mean, it's just a lodge. We could probably turn to it.
Okay. I can see a nice. Looks good though. Looks like a decent sized lodge.
Yeah, it's amazing about it because it all includes all your food and everything out here, your lunch packs. Right. And so it's rudimental, but you're in the middle of nowhere in Turkey, but you get amazing food and it kind of makes it more authentic. Like you're not, it's so much nicer to do it this way.
It is basic, but it's comfortable and the food's really good and actually really healthy, which makes a difference. There's it's not the kind of Alps where you've got cheese with every dish. There's a lot of vegetables and it, I actually feel like I'm going to come home fitter and leaner than I went away. It's like a fitness break as well as a snowboarding. So, I mean, it's been epic. Yeah.
So, Apres, make your own Apres, presumably.
Well, the 13 people on the Powder Mad trip, we've all had a few beers and a couple of glasses of wine and some whiskey. So, it's been good fun. There was another group there when we arrived, a few people, and a few people have just arrived from France today, actually.
Okay. So, mixed up. Great.
I think there is still, like, we hiked up and went down the other ridge, down the other side, and it got us down to, like, a lower, tiny little village where there's nothing in it apart from one tea house, one small little tea house. And just by chance, the little lodge across the road had had beers in it. And so they brought it along, and we were able to actually have a couple of beers at the end of the day still. So if you can call that Apres, we'll take it.
Yeah. And what about the people? I mean, are they sort of like, who are these people with these snowboards walking around, or are they used to people going there, and how friendly are they?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people who come here for touring. So there are a couple of little lodges, and we see a few of the tourers coming up. Yeah. So there's amazing valleys to go up just for touring. So they are used to it during the winter, and there are a couple of places open, but this is like the first cat ski operation.
Yeah, right. And if you want to go, what's the place called exactly where you are, and how would you go about booking a trip there?
Okay, well, we flew with Turkey Airlines from Heathrow into Istanbul, and we spent a day in Istanbul and the night, had a really good night out in Istanbul, which went on a bit late, visited the Blue Mosque and things the next day, and then flew on to Erzurum. From there, it's a 4-hour drive up to Yalalar. I think you say Yalalar.
Something like that. I've been mispronouncing everything around here. Because actually, I think it's the catch car. Like it's
catch car, not car.
It's not cat car. I kept saying cat car at the beginning. It's actually catch car.
Catch car. Okay. Catch car mountains. Yeah.
It is literally in the middle of nowhere. The road ends here, even in the summer, kind of thing. So it's remote, and that adds to the backcountry experience.
Yeah, fantastic. And I think the Powder Mad, you can look at on Facebook, because that's the community is on Facebook, isn't it?
Powder Mad Ski Group.
It's Powder Mad Ski Group, but they also have a really good website with all their tours. So they don't just do here. They really kind of expand, and every single trip they come on, all these other people join in and they say, hey, we did this place in this area, you should do a trip there, and then they'll come up with new ideas. And I think that's the great thing, it'll just keep expanding as the community expands.
So it's the website is powdermad.com, very simple.
That sounds great. It's definitely, Turkey is a place I've skied once on the border of Turkey on the Georgian side and never made it into Turkey, so definitely on my bucket list of places to go skiing in the winter. It looks pretty cool where you are, you know, looking behind you live from Turkey and the Turkish mountains. Obviously the sun's going down there. It's now 3:30 in the afternoon in the UK.
You can see some more mountains behind me over there as well.
There's a lot of snow. Looks good. Yeah, plenty of snow around.
show, and it's been, absolutely incredible.
Thanks, guys. It's been great to have you on the Whiteout. Talking about your own bucket list experiences. The first time we've done it this way. First time we've had someone actually out in the mountains in one of our bucket list destinations. Cool. It was just the fact that we had Turkey on our list for this week, and I knew you guys were out there. So it's a great chance to hear, you know, from someone that's done the bucket list trip, wishing to do it. So,
you know what, can I just add something? Because one of the main things from this trip, because I've explored loads of interesting destinations, but what was amazing about this was it was really genuinely in the middle of nowhere, and it can completely transforms your idea of what skiing and snowboarding is. It kind of opens up a whole new avenue for it. So I'm actually now excited. I'm now like, right, what more trips can I do? And that's what I'm really looking forward to.
Fantastic. And, I love that.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day, Snowboarding Friday, which is when our podcast listeners will be listening to this. So I hope you have a great day. Give us an update if you can by WhatsApp. And Luke, I will see you first thing Monday morning because we are off to Austria.
Yeah. Splitboarding. No rush, so.
There you go.
Cool. See you on Monday.
Sure. Cheers, guys. Cheers, Rob. Have a good one.
Take care. Bye.
Wow, that sounds pretty damn cool. I mean, maybe not for everyone, but definitely a bucket list stuff for skiers and snowboarders looking for a bit of adventure. And Turkey's well known as a summer destination, so why not winter too? I mean, why haven't we done this?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Next season, Dom, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, sure. I like the idea of that sort of remote experience that they're having there.
Yeah.
Combined with visiting Istanbul as well. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. Well, sounds good to me. We need to get started looking at these more unusual places, I think. Something a bit off the beaten track, you know?
Indeed. Absolutely.
Very good. So that's it for this week then. Next week, we're going to hook up with Ben and Clow and do our special episode on them gallivanting around the Alps for weeks now on their 24th resort in 2 months to see how they're getting on. They've had a good time, haven't they?
Do you think we won't like them after this conversation as well? Do you think they'll be more unpopular as more... adding Absolutely. To our list of unpopular people.
Yeah, they can go in the same bucket as James Gambrell. They're somewhere where we want to be, so we don't like them. Well, it's a good chance to thank our listeners for listening. Every one of you in one of those 71 countries that we listen to, Rob, I'm sure that's not every episode. But please, please do one thing. Just leave us a review. It really helps like-minded skiers find us. So it's the only way that these clever algorithms decide which podcast to push to the top. We get well over 1,000 downloads a week, which is great. And we thank you for your loyalty and for telling your mates how hilarious Rob and I are, Rob. What do you think?
Yeah, stick to the truth, Dom. Come on, stick to the truth. I mean, 1,000 downloads, over 1,000 downloads a week. Yes.
Only in our world. As my daughter says, Dad, you're the only one who laughs at your jokes. And I'll leave you with that thought. Rob, have a good week, Carinthia. And we look forward to catching up with Ben and Clow this week. In the meantime, safe travels.
Cheers, Dom.
Adios.
Adios.
Leno, talkie-walkie.
Pretty sure it's called a walkie-talkie, mate.